It's nice to go to different churches and learn new songs. Didn't know that one. It's really good. Right, well, this afternoon we're going to take you on a bit of a whistle-stop tour of how we've got to where we are now. Some of you will remember us from Child to Child days, and a bit of an explanation how everything's come together, okay? And then be able to explain to you the different things that we're involved with over in Africa, which was quite a lot. So we found at one place we went to, we got to the end, and everyone said, well, we just need to go away and pray about this. It's just too much to make any thought straight away. But so take it, just have a listen and see where we go. Have you ever felt like you're a single thread? Okay, you're just a thread, and when you look at a single thread, it doesn't look much at all, but there we go. When the embroiderer gets a design in their minds, they get out their piece of Ada fabric, and they get all the different threads ready, and only in their mind is the finished article. And so to you, as a piece of thread, you might think, oh, actually, it's not particularly very good. I just feel individual, by myself, not doing anything. But at the end of the day, when the embroiderer has finished the work, it's a beautiful piece of work. And actually, you're a single thread in there, but you make the difference. Okay? So I want to try and bring the threads of the last X number of years together, and show you how God has led us through. So I actually want to go back to 1989. It's when I'd finished working on our church building, and what was the next thing for us? And our pastor at that time booked me into Bible college and said, you can go if you like, I just need to know by tonight. Well, no, actually, I think he gave me 3 days. But anyway, so I ended up going to a small Bible school attached to a church fellowship in Reading. And on the course was my friend Sebastian from Uganda. And you know, sometimes you get teamed up with someone. So he was my buddy for everything. We did everything together. We went on outreach together. We went to a placement together. And I found out a lot about him and a lot about Uganda. And so that was 1989. 1990, this lady, now this is a picture from 1990, she doesn't look like this now, she's just a year or two older. And she was a missionary in Nigeria, and she came along to where the church where I was having the Bible course, and she showed pictures of Uganda. And one of the pictures she showed was a great big a mud house with a crack in it you could put your hand through. And she said, what they need is someone to teach them to build. God tapped me on the shoulder and said, you can do that. 2 weeks before that, she'd been in Worthing. She'd shown the same pictures, said the same things. Michelle said, Matt could do that. So it was a fait accompli, really, wasn't it? So within months, I was actually back with Sebastian in his home. He actually, at that point, was living in a garage. His testimony is he praised God because he didn't become a car. But he lived in a garage. And the first time I went to his house, there was a garage door that was closed. But then there was a side door that he used to come in and out. And it was part of it was missing, just rotten away. And I just went away and wept because of where he was living. But it was very clear, going around different places around Uganda, that I could teach construction, because construction is my training. So in 1991, I took a small group of people, and we built this building, and used it to train people to build. One of the people that I was training, I use this one here, is... doesn't work, does it? This guy here, he's... name is Edward Nsimbi. He was 15 years old at the time. And he was like an add-on to the students, but he came, and I did the training with my colleagues, and we walked away, didn't think anything else of it. Back in England, 1993, I started doing children's work in schools, and I was running with another person, a Christian union in one school, primary, and then a door opened for another one, and then over the years, actually we've done, there was one time we were doing four a week in after school Christian unions in four different schools. I mention that because, you'll find out in a few minutes, in 1998 we were in a children's camp in Manchester, Rochdale, and it was April, it was so cold, the toothpaste in my tube froze, okay? And this lady was here from Kenya, Esther, she'd come to see how we did children's camps, because she did them over in Kenya, and she talked to the whole camp about street children, and for Michelle and I, we really picked up on it, because it was something dear to our hearts, and within months, we were over there in Kenya, looking at her situation, and we met these young men, and these were rehabilitated street boys, and so we thought, we really felt God was leading us to help her by building a rehabilitation unit. We started Child to Child, and we were in a lot of the schools in Worthing, two primary schools, and lots of kids were helping. And in 2001, at right the time when the two towers were attacked over in America, we were building in Nairobi, and we had a team of English people, we had Kenyans, and Edward, that I pointed out, by that time was a successful builder, and he brought five of his workers. So together we worked on this rehabilitation. Edward, in the meantime, was beginning to feel in his own heart that he had his own ministry to fulfill. He's on the left, on the right, in the two-tone t-shirt, and he wanted to help orphaned teenagers, particularly getting into high school and college. This is his first group. And at the same time, a man in our town, who I knew, through different connections, he said, "Matthew, do you know a builder in Uganda?" So I said, "Yes, I do, Edward. Let me introduce you to him." So I introduced him to a man called John Ray. John Ray really linked up with Edward. That's 2003. And in 2004, together, they started Hope for Lugazi. Lugazi being the town where Edward lived. And they wanted to help, but they wanted to make it more formal. So they went into the forest and prayed, as quite often these things happen. They prayed, they really felt things established in a prayer meeting in a forest near Lake Victoria. And you can see John's there at the back, Edward's in front of him. And John came back to England, he formed a registered charity, Hope for Lugazi, here. Edward formed one over there in Uganda. And so that was the start of his work there, John Ray's work. At the end of 2004, I asked John to come with us to Kenya, to the rehab, and he did videoing all over the place, and that was because in 2005 we actually produced a musical that our family had basically written, and we invited all the school children from the area to come and to sing in it. So we had choirs from different primary schools, and we produced quite a good, and he had the visuals, which you can see behind the choir, that we used his audio, his video and his pictures. So already you can see Edward's involved with me, even though I'd sort of left him behind, as it were. We were involved with Street Kids in Kenya. This isn't 2008, we reckon it's 2005, 4, something like that, whenever it was. You guys, or some of you guys, did this coast-to-coast cycle ride, And the money that was raised from that built this school block for Sebastian, my deskmate in Bible school. And Steve and I did children's work training, didn't we? And then in 2010, I took some people from England and we did quite a big camp for kids. And there was 250 kids every day for a week, which was brilliant. And what I did, I brought the street boys that I'd been working with in Kenya over, that were living in that rehab. They came over to Uganda to be part of the team. Edward brought his young people that he's working with in Lugazi to Sebastian's place. So we were working together even then in 2010. In 2011, a Kenyan man said, "I'd like to meet you." And he was the cousin of one of the boys we've been helping. So I said, okay, so we met at the YMCA, which you heard about this morning. It's not a very nice place to stay, but the terrace with the meals is quite nice. And he sat down with me, and I was waiting for him to ask for something. And he said, "I just want to say thank you. You've helped my cousin where I failed. So thank you so much. What can I do for you?" And he actually, a car appeared so I could drive around on that particular occasion. But it was the start of a really good friendship. His name is Hosea Killey. Then in 2012, Michelle and I moved to Kenya to look after these nine. Okay, they're a likely looking bunch. I mentioned Sam this morning. He's in the middle at the front. But they were all in secondary, apart from Nelson, they were all in secondary school. And we were there to help them through their teenage angst and to get them out of school, into college, and to be useful citizens of Kenya. And apart from, well, carry on, let's not say that now. 2014, we're living there, and we've been involved again with Mr. Hosea Killey. And he started a charitable foundation of his own. His daughter in 2012 was murdered. And even today, they've still not found the killer. But what happened was, she worked for a public utility, and there was life insurance. So it paid out something like £35,000, which you wouldn't think is much, but for over there, that's quite a fair whack. And they said, rather than spend it on ourselves, let's start a charitable foundation with her in mind for remembrance. And they built dormitories in a school. They've opened access places for young people in the village. And they wanted to do a rehabilitation and a second chance college. So that is, the picture is the beginning of this college and rehabilitation that we were involved with. And that screenshot is actually from the TV. We were on Kenyan national TV. We even got a phone call that night. "Oh, I've just seen you on TV." I said, "Yeah." But the politicians, do you know the politicians hijacked the event? How unusual. Anyway, they did. The guys with the garlands on there, they just hijacked the event. When it was on TV, there was no mention of the Killey Foundation. It was just, this politician said this, this politician said that. Anyway, it was all the same. Let's keep moving on. 2014, John Ray is sitting in his church in Worthing, and another couple are working in Malawi. And they say, "We're sick, we need to retire. Would you like to take it on?" John says, "Yes, okay." They say, "Here you are, bye." That was it. So he was left holding the small work with a bishop in Blantyre, just outside Blantyre. The bishop's in the middle of the picture. His name's Damson. And in the picture is actually John Ray's pastor, because he took him over there. He's got a big heart. He's got about 12 churches that he bishops overseas. And at his home church, he wanted to start a school, primary school. So he just got a large cupboard in the church and another room, and he started the school at that point. And Edward over in Uganda got interested. So John took Edward to Malawi. And here's a picture of Edward doing some measuring of a school building that was being built. And Edward's actually supervised all the work to do with the school over there. And you'll see a picture of it a bit later on. I was saying to someone over lunch that one of the things I'm able to do is to do plans, very simple, basic drawing plans. So in 2016, I drew this, which is part of the male dormitory, staying, food, vocational training centre for Mr. Killy, where he is south of Eldoret. And so we've had in our hearts all these sorts of things going on. Then in 2017, just before we left Kenya to come back to England, a young lady who used to be in the CU when she was 8 years old, okay, that's where it all comes in, she came with her husband and volunteered with us for 2 weeks and did some work in the school attached to our church in Nakuru. So you see sort of things, threads all coming together. We got home in 2017. Every time I look at the photograph, I get a well of emotion coming up. Met at the airport by all the family, which was great. And we got home. But coming back to England, even though we'd only been away for 5 years, and we had visited each year, we were all at sea when we got home. Someone describes it like this. When you're on mission, you're like a train on a track. You know where you're going, you know what you're doing. You come home, someone takes the track away. And that's really how it felt. We had no reason to get up in the morning. We got turned down by 3 estate agents to find a place to live. It was quite difficult. I mean, God provided, but that's another story. But after just a few months of being home, John Ray came to us and said, "I want to retire. Please, will you take over all my work in Africa?" To which we said, "No, go away. We don't want it. We've only just coming home, and we need to settle before we do anything." That was like August of 2017. By November, we were feeling a bit more settled, and actually we got to the point where we said, "All right, let's talk with you again." And we said, "But your work is in Uganda and Malawi. Our heart is in Kenya. How can we marry it all together?" And he said, "Well, that's it. So just bring all the things that are on your heart in to the project." We said, "Now you're talking." Now, that was our first point where we thought, okay, now we can actually go forward with this. And we went over to Uganda to meet Edward again after, I think it was 7 years since I'd last seen him. And it was very clear from the Lord. Oh, that's got the next picture. There you are. There's us with Edward. Now, he's sort of filled out a bit now. But he made us very welcome in his place. And while we were there, we felt, yes, we had the green light from God to go ahead and take over this work. But it needed to change. And so after many months of committee meetings, don't have committees, oh, committee, we came up with Hope in Africa, okay? It's very difficult when you're working with lots of people with different ideas, but we came up with Hope in Africa, which we launched at the beginning of last year. And HOPE stands for Helping Others Provide Education and Employment. So we are working with schools, which we'll tell you about in a bit, and also vocational training. So, who are these others that we're working with? So before we go there, I want to just share about 3 of the boys we were working with and living with while we were in Kenya. Some people have already asked us about them. Here is James. He's the youngest in the family. We call it the child-to-child family. He's the youngest. He's still in college. He blew it last year. He was on his second year, and he loves football. And somebody said to him, "Come and play for our team, but I'll miss my exam." "Oh, you'll be able to take your exam later." "Oh, okay." He's got to resit the whole second year. There wasn't an exam later on. They've just got him so that he could play football. So he's actually a year behind now. So he was going to finish next year. No, this year. But now he's not going to finish till 2021. So he's basically, he's on probation at the moment so that he doesn't muck up again. He's saying, oh, I'm going to really, really do what you say to me now. So we hope he's okay. So that's James. He's the youngest. Everybody else has graduated from our program, as it were. But I want to introduce you to Ibrahim. He's our Christian musician. On the left picture is his stage face. Okay? Okay, you can see it, can't you? You can see that face of a young performer. The right-hand picture is his cancer face. Now, he's had cancer of the soft tissue in the last year and a bit. And we wouldn't wish that on anybody, okay? We're very grateful to supporters of the project who basically have paid for all his treatment, and it wasn't cheap. Every time he went for chemo, it was, I mean, the government were paying their bit over there, but he still had to pay, and it was about £300 every session of chemo, and he had six, then he had radiotherapy as well. But he's now been told he's clear, or he's in remission, okay? We say this, before, when he was a Christian musician, he would write songs about God and he would sing songs about God. But now he's met Jesus. And you can tell it sitting with him, talking with him, which we've done on a couple of occasions since he's finished his treatment. He's a different boy. Young man, he's 25. He's actually got a job now in the hospital that he was being treated in. And he's part administration and part counselling of HIV patients. And he's in an ideal position for it. And he's got the heart to reach out to those people. So we're really pleased about that, the way he is. Oh. So where's Kirua? Okay, well, Kirua should have been next. Kirua, who is Jose Achilles' cousin, He became a policeman. He wasn't going to become a policeman. He wanted to be a politician, but he ended up being a policeman. He's posted to the second most dangerous place in the country, right in the top corner, at a place called Mandera. And he lives in a tent, because that's the way the police work up there. But he has actually bought a piece of land. He's built a small house on it. He's sunk a well. So now all the community can go to his well instead of going down to the river. And he wrote to us and said, well, I've done this and now I'm really pleased because I didn't have to go and buy anything because all the things you gave me when I left home to go to college, I've still got them. So out came the bed and the cooker and the table and things. He was so happy and he said, it's all down to child. You've done this. And it really touched us that, you know, that he'd gone on so well. And others of the boys as well are doing really well. One's in an accountant's firm, one's a farmer. And they're doing very well. But let's think about these visionaries. This is the name that we've given to the five men that we're working with. Because they are doing what they're doing because they feel God has called them to do it. Okay? And they were doing it before we came along. So it's not like we've gone and we've said, okay, we want to help you. What project would you like to do? It's not like that at all. They're doing their work and we're coming alongside to assist them. That's why you've got that hope, helping others. We're actually an assisting organization rather than a driving organization. So here's Edward. We've talked about him a fair bit. In Uganda, in the town called Lugazi, he has a secondary school, which at this point houses more than 600 pupils, or on the roll, 300 of them are boarders. And this is all of the pupils together, on a Monday lunchtime, it's school church, and you should watch them worship. It is incredible. It really is. He also has a farm to help produce food for the school. And this is his business mind. He's a very good businessman. He said, how do I pay the workers on the farm? So he has a zero grazing cow project, and the milk yield from the cows is the wages of the farm workers. So it's in the farm workers' best interest to look after the cows and milk them as best as possible. And that's what happens. So we're really, really pleased with that. So that helps feed the school and another school that you'll hear about in a moment. In the year that we've been running Hope in Africa, we have helped build this girl's dormitory in his school. And Edward also has oversight of a primary school just outside of Lugazi in a town called Kakubansiri. It's called Ray of Hope Primary School. And it's it really is village school. There's no running water, there's no electricity. So the office of the school has got solar panels on the roof so they can run their computer. They've got a hand pump to pump up their water. And Hope for Lugazi has built a couple of classrooms, blocks. And now Hope in Africa has now built teachers' accommodation for 6 teachers. In Uganda, it's part of the package of your salary, is your salary plus a place to live or rent money. So this year we've built this row of houses for the teachers, so that the school hasn't got to rent somewhere for all the teachers, which is brilliant. Let's have a look. Also, we've bought, where you see all those trees there, we've bought this land, which is right next door to the school, and we're going to put a school hall on this in the future, and that'll give them the ability to be registered with the government, because at the moment they're not. Edward is also very mindful of widows and orphans. And here is a widow. Her name is Divine, and she has 5 children. The eldest is a girl, and her name is Frank. No, Kevin. Kevin. Sorry, it's Kevin. She's the only girl I know who's called Kevin. Then, in anti-clockwise, you've got Isaac, Frank, Brian. I can't remember the little one's name. Sorry, and so they have been a family that he's been helping particularly, and over the last year, we've helped them build a pit latrine and washroom for them, and at the moment we help them with £20 a month. She's actually trying to do some business, but we just top up their living, and we've got her children sponsored in school. Charles, I don't need to talk about him because he's sorted out. Here's Gloria. Gloria is Edward's daughter, and she's trained to be a teacher, and she's actually our sponsorship coordinator for the 2 schools there in Lugazi. Let's move down to Malawi. This is Damson. And he's a very quiet, unassuming man. Okay? You sat with him at a table, he wouldn't really do much talking. You'd have to sort of tease things out of him. But get him in the pulpit. Man alive! He is, I was really surprised when I saw him preach, I tell you. Here's a couple of pictures of the outside of his school. You saw at the beginning just the bare bricks that Edward was working on. This is the school now. It's a primary school. And at the end of 2018, the beginning of 2019, Hope in Africa got a school hall going for them. So we're very pleased about that. When I was there in September, it was his church's annual conference. Guess who was the speaker? So we got this hall absolutely full of people from all over the south of Malawi. And I was telling Steve, I preached 4 times in 2 days. Once on Friday night, then Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. And the lunchtime, after lunch, everyone's going like this. Even with my scintillating preaching, can you imagine? Anyway, so we had to get them up halfway through to exercise. But it was lovely to meet all these people and to see his setup. His heart is to increase the work from just primary to include secondary. They have a piece of land. Here's a picture of me with his daughter, Glory, who is the administrator of the school. And together we were working on the possibilities of what we could do with the land and putting a secondary school on it. He's also been in, some of his churches are right in the south. I mean, he's in the south, but I'm talking on the border, kilometres from the Mozambique border. And you may remember in March last year, in the south of Malawi, the north of Mozambique, there was a cyclone. And it came through and it washed everything away. Now, this is one village that got washed away. I got taken down there. And I asked, well, where's the water come to? And the water came to there, throughout the village. Okay? And since March, they've been living on World Food Programme every week. And they've actually just planted again. And hopefully there won't be another cyclone, so that they'll be able to get some food by March. It washed all their crops away, which was really annoying. So we were able to help. Hope in Africa was able to help them with initial stuff back in March. We were able to give them a couple of £1,000 to be able to get blankets, water, that sort of thing, together for an immediate shelter. And then latterly, we've produced seed and fertilizer for them to be able to plant again. Although that's outside of our area, but you know, you can't just say, oh no, we don't do that. Here's Sebastian back in Uganda. So here's two pictures of his school. It's a very interesting thing about his school, because when we went there in 2010 to do the children's camp, it was 300 pupils. I got there in October of 18, and there was just 100. And out of those 100, 60 something couldn't afford school fees. Okay, so it was the school was right down. Teachers were leaving. I said to Edward, who was with me, I said, should the school just close? Sebastian was burdened by it. Should the school just close down, you know? And they said, no, the infrastructure's here, everything's here. And if you close this school, those kids would not get an education. So we said, okay, let's carry on then. We'll carry on with it. And in fact, when I go next month, we're sitting down and talking about increasing the administration and how we can get there to really help with their day-to-day running. This is actually inside one of the classes that you guys helped to create back in 2005. And we went there, we took some math resources, and we also, this year, we have sunk a well there, one of the India Mark IVs. And we've also, on the left of the picture, on a roof, there's a really tiny solar panel. He's got an arrow to it. There's a little solar panel there, and that runs this charge controller, and that runs 5 lights. And there's one of those in the girls' dormitory and one in the boys' dormitory. And it only costs £130 for that little thing. So we put that in those two. So it helps the students in the evening to do their study work, which is great. Mr. Killy, back in Kenya. And as I said, he's running a rehabilitation and a second chance college. We were there for the opening and having the ribbon cut by the governor. And it does the sorts of things you would expect. Tailoring, carpentry. They want to do more different things there. They've got beauticians, things like that. When we went there in May of last year, we set out the foundations for that plan I showed you a bit earlier on. And we had a groundbreaking ceremony. Is it there? No, it's not there. A groundbreaking ceremony, and all the dignitaries came, and we dug away the turf, but we're still waiting for planning permission to actually start the actual building. And then our last visionary is Patrick. He is the pastor of the church we attended while we lived in Kenya. He runs a primary school called Morning Star Academy. It doubles up as a Sunday school on a Sunday, so that's why we're in the picture there. And again, it's a very rural area, and many of the parents can't afford to send their children to the school. But Patrick just says, come. But of course, that's a knock-on effect, you see, because if the children can't pay, that means they can't pay the teachers. So the teachers leave. So for us, child sponsorship at the moment is quite an important thing. And there's some of the little ones, gorgeous little children. And we've twinned this school with Heen School in Worthing. And I was able to introduce Heen School to them. And then in the beginning of December, wasn't it, we went to Heen School and introduced Morning Star to them. So it was quite fun to be able to do that. So I've given you an overview of the five people that we're working with. How can you...
Oh, yeah.
Let's give you an example. Let's say Sebastian. Okay, why has Sebastian started a school? In his town, the Muslims opened a school. And he's an evangelist, Sebastian, by nature. He will, if only 100 people get saved at a crusade, he's disappointed. Okay, so he naturally is an evangelist. He said, I cannot not open a school. If the Muslims are doing it, we've got to do it. So he's opened this school to counteract the Muslim influence in his area. And he's actually got some Muslim children going to his school because the parents see that they're providing a much more rounded education than the Islamic schools, which are very basic and concentrating on the Quran more than anything. So that's one reason.
So the main purposes of the schools is not just to give the children an education and a hope, but they're very Christian based. So the children, as you would have seen in some of those photos where they're worshipping the Lord, it's to teach the children about the love of God. And that's just a thing in our hearts. We want to see children knowing how much God loves them, because then they are in a good place in their own country to teach others about the love of God.
Thank you. Okay, so how can you help? I've learned over the years that the most important thing is prayer. Okay? You could pray. For people we have a board in England that we work with. So you could pray for wisdom and leading and strength. We're the youngest people on the board at the moment. Although we are having someone younger coming on. And if you wanted to pray with information, you could sign up. There's a sheet there. You could sign up. And we're sending out a monthly small update, just a single A4, by email. And it will give you the information you need just to pray. Recently, a church in Worthing said, we want to pray for you regularly, once a month. I said, okay, have our sheet, because then you'll have the stuff. And it just has like 5 items on it. Because we have a prayer meeting every month in our house. And people come from our church and around to pray together. I just produce this, just 5 points, and we just go through that in an hour. You could pray for the 5 visionary men. One of the real temptations that we've come across that they have is that they get money and they don't use it for the right purpose. Okay, we send the money to do such and such. And then they get tempted to... Well, I know one guy that's driving around in a 4-wheel drive car. And the missionary money that went to him, it just went into his pocket. It was one of our projects, but people can get spoiled by money. So we need to pray that they stay on track and they stay true and faithful to what God had called them. You could pray for our boy James, for Ibrahim as he gets his life back after his cancer treatment. You should hear some of his songs. They are really, really good. You can find out more information at hopeinafrica.co.uk. It's not a brilliant website. It's our first one to bring everything together. But it will give you more information. And then you could also find on there how you can help in different ways. But here are just some of the ways. Child and youth sponsorship. Okay? We suggest for a child £15 and for a young person £30. But if you said, oh, I'd really like to, but I can't afford more than £10 a month. My mum gives £10 a month to a little four-year-old girl to help her with her school fees. And so, you know, we're not saying if you can't give, no, if you want to give a small amount, that's fine, no problem. And, yeah, I'll talk about those in a moment. So there's that side of it. But then you might say, well, actually, child sponsorship is too big a thing because it's a commitment for many years. You might say, well, I could help with your next school infrastructure project. Give towards that. In 2021, we actually hope to take a team from England out to build a block for the Morningstar Academy. And so we're in the process of doing the designs now. When we go in April, we'll take it there for them to approve. And then we shall start raising some funds to produce this building. But we need people from England to come and help. So there'll be that side of things. And there's teacher salaries as well. Because until we've got a good sponsorship base, teachers are leaking away because they haven't got enough school fees to pay their teachers. So that's another side of things. Won't bother with that. Where the vocational training centre is, they need a manager. We need you to pray for a manager. It's even more so now because the project manager is leaving. We got an email this week. And so they need a centre manager there. Now, it's in the middle of nowhere. We were in a church in Devon and talking about it. I said, what about going yourself? Rather than praying for someone or paying for someone, why not go yourself? I said, it's always raining. There's little or no phone signal. There's little or no internet. There's only solar power. The water comes and goes. I said, well, it sounds just like Devon. It's definitely not a place for a family. But if somebody, perhaps you could pray, somebody has a heart to go and help these people with rehabilitation and with training for skills for life. That's what we need down there in Otago. So that's quite important for that centre. And Hosea would really like an English person to go there and work there, because he knows that English people have got a bit more something, bit of savvy. Mind you, he travels with his company around the world. So he's met people and he says, I know that you've got organisational skills. I mean, to give you an example, in Kenya, when it's time for the schools to open at the beginning of the term, the parents will wait until the day that school opens and then go and buy the uniform. And it's also last minute, whereas you'd like someone who's a bit more first minute. So if that's you, you might tell them. Pray about it. Individuals needing support. So perhaps for Divine and her family, perhaps for Gloria. I say Gloria because in Malawi it's Glory, and in Uganda it's Gloria. So she needs a little bit of support for doing what she's doing, for the sponsorship. And then there's general support, which could be for administration. We only take less than 5% of what is given, we take for administration costs. So whenever we go, we pay for our own airfares. We don't take our airfares for anything like that. And we are, because we're a registered charity, we can do gift aid as well. So beyond now, the things that we're particularly looking for is twinning of schools. So we've got three more primaries and one secondary that we'd like to twin. And because of the work that we've done in schools in the past, I've got quite a good, you know, I know how to speak to kids. So it's quite easy to be able to go in. We've already done one school, as I've said, and they are now working up to build a relationship. And we're happy to come once a term to a school to talk to the children, plan with the staff, that sort of thing. Child sponsorship is another thing that we really want to encourage people with this year, and buildings for the people. So over on my right, you will see some displays, and each of the photographs of the children that are on display there are children who yet need sponsors. Okay? And if you think, yeah, it's something I'd like to do, choose a child, write your name down on the special form there. If you think, I can't plan now, but go away and pray about it, you can sort it out through the website as well. There's a form on the website. We also have here some stuff that's been passed on to us, some African material which have been turned into bags and all sorts of different things, some batiks, which we're actually selling. There's no price on anything. It's make us a reasonable offer, okay?
Yeah,
look at it, say, I'd really like that, make it, and then we've got a little pot for donation. We've also got leaflets about each part of the work, and a general one as well, which you're welcome to take. And I think, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much. Oh. Are there any questions? Or are you stunned into silence?
Just one question.
At
the school, that's not a school with its pupils.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I never finished the story. It's such an amazing story. Sebastian had gone down to 100 children, and he said, what is it, Lord? He got down in front of God, and he prayed and he prayed, and God said, you've chased away my orphans. Because he deliberately stopped new orphans coming into the school. He only wanted fee-paying children to come in. So God said to him, you've chased away my orphans. The moment he said, okay, we'll let the orphans come back in, the school went doubled in size. There's still so many, 60% can't pay, but the school has doubled in size, and it's alive, the school's alive. Whereas before, last year, it was dead. So he's following the Lord's heart on it. Yeah. Well, the kids are with family. If they're orphans, they might be with aunties, uncles, grandparents, like that. For Edward, he provides in school holidays, he provides a work environment for the teenagers who are in being supported, and they work on the farm, and they actually get paid little, so that they're not just sitting there getting the money coming to, well, it doesn't come to them themselves, you know, it goes into their school account. But Edward provides a work environment for the teenagers particularly. Yeah. I mean, when we were living there, our boys were in boarding school and they came home for the holidays. So, yeah. What happens is generally, because we tried to get people to donate to a project and it didn't work, okay? And people say, here's some money, do with it where you see the need is most. So what we do, when we have a board meeting twice a year, and at those board meetings, I put forward, because I've been out and I've seen everything, and I put forward proposals for how we spend the money, and then the board agree. I mean, sometimes they've said no to me, so, you know, it does work. And so we say, okay, so we're going for these things, and then we drip feed. We don't send it all out in one hit. Unless it's, they're doing a building and they need £1,000, we'll send £1,000, you know, but otherwise we will send like 500 a month for them to do that, whatever they need. But it's what we, it's how we feel before the Lord, which, where it goes. Because we've been putting lots of people towards sponsoring at Sebastian's school. But now it's changed. The Malawi school needs sponsors particularly at the moment, you know, so it's where we feel the Lord is leading us to put the money. And we produce accounts which once they're done, they're on the Charity Commissioner's website, so they're available for anyone to see. And if anyone's phoned up and said, if Salters have phoned up and said, well, we gave you 3 and 6 last year, what have you done with it? We can say, okay, it's here, 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 here. Well, we've got a good paper trail for everything we do, deliberately. Yeah.
And then another question is, with the children that you sponsor, do they get food? Are they fed with that?
The money that is used is for basically for school fees, and part of the school fees goes into their meals, it goes for the teachers, it goes for their uniform, it goes for their books, all those sorts of things. Okay? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You said one school had a board to register the government.
Mm-hmm.
How is this like a curriculum, or is this part of a broader, these schools are part of a broader educational network, as it were?
No, they're all individual schools per se. The government have a set of hoops that every school has to jump through to get registration. Part of that, in all three countries, is you have to have a hall so that your pupils can sit exams. If you don't have the hall, you won't get registration. And
so what happens is that if a school isn't registered, the children from that school have to go to another school that's got a hall that's got registration in order to do their exams. But that's not an ideal situation because it messes up the statistics.
Yeah, and so that school gets their brilliance, if you know what I mean. Now Patrick's school in Nakuru, Morning Star, that's registered, and they actually last year, not this year just gone, but the year before, they were top in their area for private schools, which was great because all the parents were saying, oh, which school was top? Oh, let's take our children there, you know, which was great. Yeah, go on.
Once they've been through your primary schools, then do they take an exam or something to go into the next stage of school?
That's right. When you get to the end,
are you supporting them all through?
We're supporting Ray of Hope Community School into Hope Christian High School. Because that's basically sort of one campus in two places. But the other schools are just primaries. And so when they reach the end of primary, that is when they would stop, because we wouldn't know where they'd be going. You see, that is a logistic. That's one of the reasons why Damson wants to have a secondary school, so that he can see a child all the way through their education. Yeah. Sounds like it's the end of questions. Right. Again, thank you very much for listening.